Are you ready for what God has for us tonight? Amen. I want you to know this is not my favorite topic. It's not the one I would have picked, but it's the one the Holy Ghost has for us. Amen. And so we're going to receive our help here tonight. Hallelujah. Because I like to preach flowery things, you know, like walking in love and God's going to meet all your needs and all that kind of stuff. But this will save your life. Not that tithing won't. Tithing will save your life. But listen, this is a message for you know, there's some people who have been here a little while and some people who have been here a long time. And so, you know, as you grow as a Christian, as you've been in the church for a while, you have a certain responsibility, don't you? You know, you don't give your 5-year-old the same responsibility that you give your 15-year-old, right? So as they're older, they have more responsibility. You expect more of them. And so the same thing is true with us as believers, that the longer that we're in the church, the longer that we've known the Lord and been serving him, the more he expects of us. And so tonight, he wants us to come up higher. He wants us to walk in more of his power, more of his glory, more of his goodness. But listen, there's a part we have to do, right? You know, today as I was praying and the Holy Ghost shared with me that, you know, victory is in the realm of heaven and it belongs to us. But how many of you know it's not just his power that brings victory, it's our faith that partners with his power for us to walk in the victorious life. Amen. And so God has some things for us, and I'm going to not just teach you some things, but some things will be imparted to your spirit tonight. And so there are some services where it seems like you take a lot of notes, and then some services where you need to absorb something. And although you can take notes tonight, this is more of a service to receive something into your spirit. And go back later if you need to on the archives and watch it and take some notes. But just let the Holy Ghost minister to you what you need. Amen. And so we're going to receive from him tonight. And here's what the Holy Ghost would have me to minister on to you. How to overcome the spirit of the world. How many of you know the spirit of the world is trying to work its way and has worked its way into the church? And it's our responsibility as believers to stand up and to not allow that in the church. Amen? And so listen, you know, it's very obvious some churches that have given into the spirit of the world by the way that they dress and, you know, certain things that happen on the platform and the very atmosphere. But how many of you know you don't have to preach in ripped jeans for the spirit of the world to have entered your life and be working in you? And so, you know, the enemy, remember, he came real sly and slick in the Garden of Eden. We've been talking about that. And he was a serpent. He was real stealth and tried to work his way in. And if we're not guarded and we're not careful, we will allow the spirit of the world to work in our life, to work its way into our heart, and we'll bring it into the church. Through our way of thinking, through our actions, through the way that we spend our money, through our lifestyle and our habits. And so we can be preaching in a suit and still be yielded to the spirit of the world. That's a deception. Because see, hey, we got hip to that. It's not godly to dress like that, right? It's not godly, some of the things that go on. And so, but listen, the spirit of the world can still operate in the church when we're dressed in a suit. I saw a service online not that long ago, and I saw this minister call for a healing line and have some people come forward to be ministered to. And it looked real good. It seemed real spiritual. And if you looked at it, it was in line with the word, just laying hands on people. But on the inside, I know they're doing this as a filler in the service because they got nothing in their heart to feed the people with. We have to be careful. We don't allow what's in the world to get into our heart and bring it into the church. And what's the difference between the world and the church if we're not spiritual? And we've talked about making mention of things in your prayer. You know, as you go about your day, you can pray while you're in the shower. You can pray on your way to church. And I'm here to tell you that's just not enough. It's not enough. We need to be praying more than that. Listen, you know, young moms, they have babies and they might be a year old and they carry them on their hip. You know, maybe they're a year and a half, and they carry him around that way, and that's real cute. But if a mother were carrying her 15-year-old on her hip, she'd look dumb and he'd look dumb. You need to stand up and do your own walking, right? And spiritually in the church, we've done that. We've allowed the prayer team and the pastor to pray us through, and we've done nothing. And listen, this is for all of us. The Holy Ghost to all of us, right? That he's warning us. We have to be on guard. What to keep out, what to allow in. We do not want a tainted, diluted, washed out Christianity that can't help the world out of anything. Can't help the world out of poverty, can't help the world out of sickness, can't help the world out of depression, can't help the world out of disease. They need to have somewhere to go where there's hope. And if we're partaking of the same thing in the world, there is no hope. The church has lost its power. And you know what the power is in the church? Prayer. The power in the church is prayer. And yet, I would dare say most Christians don't pray much. We need to get back to that. Amen. The Holy Ghost is emphasizing that strong. 5 minutes a day is not going to cut it, folks. Listen, we want God to do radical things for us, right? Some people going through major trials need radical changes in their body, radical changes in their finances, radical changes in their kids, and yet they're doing the same old simple 5 minutes of prayer they've done every day. We've heard over and over, if you want something different, you have to do something different. If we keep doing the same thing, we keep getting the same results, which is a lack of power. Nothing's changing. Things are the same month after month and year after year, and we go without because we don't press in. Right? It's our responsibility, not just for our own life, but for the lives of those around us who are unsaved, who are hurting. Why did you come in the church? Why did you come to the church? Because you had hope. Because someone here had the power and could help you know by the word of God how to get out of your situation. That's why you came. Because when all else failed, there's church, right? When all else fails, there's prayer. But you were brought here and you stayed here because there was power. But it's not up just to the pastors and the prayer team to maintain that power. It's up to everybody here. And folks, we haven't done the job we're supposed to. I'm just telling you. And do you want to know one of the number one ways? Actually, there's many ways. But the spirit of the world has worked into the church through this. Social media. The news. Netflix. Now you get Amazon Prime and all you wanted was free shipping. And they give you all these shows and videos. And if you don't use it, you know what? They keep messaging me because I've never watched a show. I just want the stuff shipped second day, you know? But they keep messaging me. Did you know you have videos? Did you know you can watch this stuff? Yeah, I know. I don't want to watch that stuff. It's getting into the church through YouTube, through blogs, through people on Instagram, through people, you know, always online, online, online. Because listen to me. You partake of what it is that you're around. Even if it's through the TV, through your phone, through your iPad, through your WePad, whatever you got. You know, that's not a real thing, I don't think. But anyways, your laptop, and, you know, the devil's streaming that stuff into people's cars as they're driving and they're watching it, you know, and as they're at work on their break. It's a lie to say we don't have time. It's a lie. You have time. How long did you spend on Facebook? How long did you spend on Instagram? How long did you spend on YouTube? How long did you spend on watching someone's blog? You know, that whole YouTube university? You can learn to do just about anything on YouTube. And even if you don't want to do it, it's kind of fun to watch the video, right? But the thing is, you get sucked in. And one video becomes two. And then they reference someone else who does this other thing you might be interested in. So now you're over here on this YouTube channel and you're watching that YouTube channel. Next thing you know, you're a subscriber and you're getting a ding on your phone every time they got a new video. And the circus goes on and on and on. And it's the spirit of the world working his junk into your life through that phone. Tonight, you know, when I was little, they would take us to these plays for school. I went to public school. And they'd sit us down there at Reg Linnae. And, you know, while you were in the audience, you'd see that curtain, you know, moving because you knew people were behind there and they're hitting that curtain and they shouldn't be. And so while you're in the audience, there are things going on behind the curtain you can't see. And once they pull that curtain back, you see all that was behind there that you didn't know, right? And tonight, we are pulling the curtain back on what the devil's trying to work behind the scenes to get the church to lose its power. And I'm making a stand. I won't let it happen. How about you? How about you? I said, how about you? Commit. Commit. Listen, we've got lots of time. We just squander it. We're real good at piddling away our time. We've squandered it away. You know, have you ever heard the expression nickel and dime? You know, you get $100 and don't nickel and dime it. You know, you went to Panera Bread, there goes half, you know. You go to Arby's, there's the other half. That's like fast food used to be cheap, you know. But now it's healthy, so they charge more. I was like, I'll just take the fattening burger. Anna got me this magnet that says, it's this lady all happy, and she's little in her frilly apron. And she's carrying this salad, and she said, this salad tastes like I'd rather be fat. Sometimes you just want some fat, you know? Not on you, just in your food. So we pull back the curtain on what the devil's trying to do, trying to work the spirit of the world into the church, because even though we're wearing suits, we're not really Christians. We're like a 15-year-old on the mama's hip looking dumb because we have no power. You know Molly Stutzman, she has a son. He's a teenager now, and he's 6'6". She couldn't even carry him like that if she wanted to anymore. We've been spiritual hitchhikers, hoping the platform carries us through. If you want something radical, you better do something radical. You better do something radical. Let's start here. I'll give you a scripture so it's a legit sermon, okay? So you all can tell my pastor I preach the word. I'm just kidding. Sort of. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12. And before that, I want to share something with you. As a minister, you can preach the right sermon at a wrong time, and it'll really mess things up. And so I did preach a sermon at a wrong time one time, and it didn't mess anything up, but it wasn't much fun for me. Because you have to be where the anointing is. And just like it takes training to learn how to be a parent, what you do as a parent, it takes, you know, training what to do at your job, how to be skillful at your job. Ministers don't just hatch out of this little cloud of ministry and you just know what to do all the time. I don't know if you knew that. And you're pretty much guinea pigs. You didn't know that either, but we just practice because, you know, we have to figure out what the Holy Ghost is doing too, right? I know that sounds real spiritual. So I was asking the Lord, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to minister? Are you sure? Because listen, I'd rather preach something real flowery. I'll be honest with you. Flowery sermons get people light, if you didn't know. They preach money in your pocket, you know, it's all going to be okay, all that kind of stuff. And here's what the Holy Ghost told me in Acts. You don't have to turn there, just listen. Acts 26, talking about Paul, how he had his vision on the road to Damascus, and he's now recalling it before King Agrippa. And he says, here's what I was sent to do. And this is what the Lord told me I was sent to do tonight. Take this very seriously. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they would receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith in me. To turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Listen to me. Things have not worked because we've yielded too much to the spirit of the world and the power is wrapped up. It's not working for us because we've yielded too much to that, right? Generally speaking. And so tonight what we're doing is revealing what's really happening in the realm of the spirit, that you can stop it, you can change it, and the power then works in you and for you and through you. Because the power of God is not just for us to keep. We're all happy, you know, just bless my family, Lord. You know, just keep us well, keep us healthy, keep us wealthy. No, It's for those who are out there who are hurting and lost and desperate. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want you to see that this is real. Because I know it sounds out there. I know it sounds outlandish in a way. But the spirit realm is real. And there was a time I was praying for a person here in the church, and I spent a lot of time praying for this person, and I saw in my spirit, I saw them look out to the world and long for it. And it drew, I could feel it like in my heart. It just pulled them. It drew them. Just infidelity and in wrong things with money and abandoning family and everything that the world does, it drew them. And they desired it. And I couldn't change it in prayer. And I went to him and I said, I saw this in my spirit concerning you. And I can't change it for you. Only you can change it. You have to decide where your attention is. Because where your attention is, your life will go. Your attention will always take you the direction of your life. So wherever your attention is, that's where your whole life is going. And I saw this person look out to the world and long for it. And I said, I am warning you, if you don't change what you're desiring, what your attention is on, the direction of your life, there is only destruction for you. And I don't have the power to stop it. You do. There are certain things the platform can't change for you. The pastors can't change for you. Recently, I was praying for someone else in I couldn't stop. I could not change what was happening with this person. And I've been praying for a long time, over and over and over again. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what do I do? And I heard my pastor's voice. You know, every week how he says, I thank you, Lord, I put this seed, you know, into the bucket and go and produce harvest in Jesus' name. And so how the Holy Ghost spoke up to me and just said that there was nothing that could be done. They were going to reap a harvest that they had sown. Do you remember after the flood of Noah? That was the second flood. The first flood was Satan's flood, but the second flood was the flood of Noah. And remember that it said afterward that there was a sign in the sky and it was a rainbow, that God would never destroy his people again. And if you go on, right after that, it says, what was established on the earth? The law of seed time and harvest. And so now you are in charge of your own destiny. God will never destroy humankind again. We destroy ourselves. He left it up to us to sow and to reap according to what we put in our own heart. Listen, God is a loving God, and he will put stop sign after stop sign after stop sign to get you to not run through. But after a certain point, you're going to reap a wrong harvest because you sowed a wrong seed. If you continue to sow into the realm of Satan, if you continue to sow into the realm of your flesh, if you continue to sow toward the spirit of this world, you will reap corruption. There's no way around it. The law of seed time and harvest is here on this earth until Jesus comes again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So see, the spirit of the world is real. It is listed, named in the scripture. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, let me share with you another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10, 20. Our fellowship is very important, folks. Listen, when you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, you're on Netflix, you are fellowshipping. What you fellowship with, it's like you're reaching out your hand toward them and partnering with them. That they're putting forth what they're giving and you're agreeing with that. So we have to be very careful what it is that we partner with, what it is we agree with, because you're watching that video and next thing you know you're going, oh, uh-huh, yeah, that's your agreement right there. You're saying that out of your own heart. And so we must be guarded concerning these things. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So see, we all thought it was just Ouija boards and palm reading and tarot cards that got us to fellowship with the devil, and that's not true. It is these wrong things we're connected with through our computers, through our TVs, through our phones, all of those things. Can I share something personal with you? I try very carefully that if I'm going to look at something online, that I make sure that it's a believer's site, a believer's blog, you know, something that has Christianity at its roots. And everybody likes something different. You might look up stuff on gardening. You might look up stuff on guns. You might look up stuff on outdoor stuff. You might look up stuff on going on a trip. You might look up stuff on how to decorate your home. You might be on websites all the time, you know, regarding clothes or stuff for your kids. You know, everybody has different interests. And so I was on this site, and it was just for clothes. It was just a blog, and it showed outfits that she wore, and then it references where to get them, and you can buy the clothes. Well, hey, I don't have to do my own shopping. I like what she wears. I just click the button, and it's done, right? It sounds easy and simple. But let me tell you something that started to happen. I don't know what, but there was a transfer that took place, and I started not to think right. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, I knew the spirit of the world is strong with that person. Even though they're a published believer, it's strong with them, and it's trying to attach itself to your life. And I had to not go to that blog anymore. Listen, I don't know what to tell you except to say that what we just saw in the Bible, we should not have fellowship with devils. We saw that the spirit of the world is real. And listen to me, people over time fellowshipping with these things, they start not to feel themselves. They start not to think themselves. They start not to act normal. They start not to do things that they never would have done before. You know, you can get ideas of things to do and ways to behave and stuff to say, and you see all that out on social media and you think, well, the whole world's doing it. It must be okay. But let me tell you, Jesus drew a line in the sand, and what's okay for the world is not okay for us. It's not okay. Let me share this with you, Matthew chapter 11. This is the anecdote. This is the anecdote. I feel like Reverend Greer when he says, I woke up really nice, and I came here really happy, but I know it doesn't seem like that. Listen, I'm not mad at anybody. God's not mad at anybody. But these things are worthy of repentance. That we have lost our fervor for God. When could most Christians say they spend an hour praying? That's sad. It's sad. Then who's praying? The world? And nothing gets done unless somebody prays. And I know I tend to be a little heavy on the prayer side and lean toward holiness, but what's the church supposed to be? Good night. If we're going to say we're Christians, we should act like Christians. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the anecdote to the spirit of the world is this: come and drink. Have you ever heard that expression? Come and drink. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come unto me. As believers, when have we done that? When did we come unto him? When was the last time you closed up with him and just prayed? He said, come unto me. That's Jesus. Go over here with me. I want to share with you in John chapter 7. You know this scripture. We sing a wonderful song about this scripture. It's real easy to sing, another thing to actually do it. John chapter 7, verse 38. Miss Ann, could you come up here? Yes. The Holy Ghost would like to share something with you. And he is going to reward you
openly. The prayers you have prayed in secret, he will reward you openly. Not just monetarily, he's going to reward you openly, Miss Ann. Receive that reward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be rewarded. It's good to be rewarded. God makes you look good. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I was in my car and I pulled into that spot in the back before I came in this building and I didn't have one word to say. I had no idea what word I was going to start out with, how the sermon was going to go. I just was praying and studying and praying and studying and praying and studying. And I'll be honest, I pulled in my parking spot and had a big blank. And yet I got up here and the Holy Ghost just laid it out. That's how good God is. He makes you look smart. Have you ever been in the right place at the right time? And you couldn't have known that on your own if you tried? Hit the pause button here on Come Unto Me, John 7. So for me, I've noticed that the Holy Ghost tells me stuff and works with me in patterns of 2 years. Trials in the patterns of 2 years, things I'm supposed to know in 2 years. He will show me something or tell me something and it doesn't come to pass in my life till 2 years later. That's just the pattern he works with me. So I'm driving down North Main Street a couple years ago, and have you ever noticed when you come up to the McDonald's, right when you come into the 30-mile-per-hour zone, before the Tim Hortons, so between the McDonald's and the Tim Hortons, there are a couple houses there, residential houses. But it said for a long time, a sign on the property that they were trying to sell it commercial property. And so I don't know why. I don't remember where I was coming back from. But I was coming back from somewhere, and as I drove down North Main Street, I had an unction to pray for that property. That property be sold. I commanded angels to come and bring buyers. And, you know, I've been speaking to that property. And so when something like that happens to me and I'm in my car, I'll just tell Siri to make a note for me. And then I put it in my prayer journal later. Because while you're driving, it's real easy to just get busy with your day and forget something even happened. So I wrote that in my prayer journal and went about my business. Now, I have no idea why that matters. I'm thinking, well, maybe something is going to sell and somehow that money is going to come into the church. Maybe it has something to do with authority in that area. I didn't know, but I thought it all could connect to the church. I just had no idea. And so at the time, it seemed a little odd, but I did what the Lord told me. Then fast forward a couple years, and I'm driving back from somewhere else, and I drive past the property, and I see a sold sign on there not that long ago. And I'd forgotten I prayed 2 years ago. I went to Tim. I said, did you know that North Main Street property is already sold? It just sold. And I said, I'm not sure why. That just seems significant. So I'm looking back through my prayer journal, and I went back downstairs, and I said, I prayed for that property to sell a couple years ago, and now it's sold. And he's like, but why? And I go, well, I don't know. But it's sold. That's the exciting part. I have no idea. Who cares? And so I said, but a lot of times I don't know. I would say probably a majority of the time I don't really know why I pray about certain things. And Tim said, that's odd because every time I pray about something, I know exactly what it's about, who it's for, what to say, what to do about it. And for me, that's rare. So fast forward a couple days, and next thing you know, there's someone who's going to look at our Linwood house to rent. Do you know where they live? In the property on North Main Street that I prayed should be sold 2 years before then. I said to Tim, they live where? They were living in that house. You know, the Holy Ghost cared we were going to need tenants at this time, 2 years later, in the Linwood house. That's just how good he is. He didn't tell me at the time I prayed. He didn't even tell me at the time I saw it sold. I had no idea. Isn't that good of God? The foreknowledge of God. Listen, the things of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit is real. It might seem far out there. It might seem outlandish. Let me tell you, keep a prayer journal. Write these things down. If I hadn't had a prayer journal, I never even would have remembered that. God's caring about your future, your present, what's coming up for your kids, what's coming up for your family, but many times we go without knowing. So I could be right now paying my own mortgage every month on the Linwood house because I don't have renters. Had I not obeyed one little unction as I'm driving past a house for that property to sell, and I have no idea why. That's just how good he is. You know, when you were young, now the young kids don't remember this, but remember when you had to have a house phone and you had to be home to get a phone call? I really miss those days. Like, I'll be honest. I know we're all born at the right time when we're supposed to and all, but I'm real old school, and I could care less about my cell phone. And so anyways, remember what everybody had it in their kitchen, and it had like a 20-foot long telephone line, and you had to be in the kitchen to get the phone? And so, you know, if you were a teenager, you stretched it all the way into the dining room to sit in a chair, and your mother yelled at you every time she had to come through because the line was all stretched out. But remember when you know, the cordless phone was invented and it had this big, long antenna and you thought you were cool because you could sit on your couch and talk on the phone now? And then things advanced a little and you could talk on your porch. And you wanted to be out there talking on your porch just so all your friends saw you got a cordless phone and you can talk on your porch. And then you just kept trying to stretch it further, like, could I go to the sidewalk? Could I walk to my friend's phone or house while I'm still on the phone? But the thing was, those cordless phones had a receiver, right? They had a cradle you had to put the phone back on to recharge. And you couldn't get that phone too far away from the receiver, or the connection would break up and you couldn't fully hear what they were saying. It'd get all staticky. And that's what happens with believers. Here's God, he's our receiver, and we're way across town, spiritually speaking. We've done nothing to stay connected with him. We're not even close, and we're wondering why we have no connection. We're not hearing his voice. You have to stay close to him to hear his voice. You have to stay close to pick up what he's saying. Here's how we do it. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now remember Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me. Now he's telling us what to do when we come unto him. Come unto him and drink, right? Come unto him and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So once we drink in something, something else is supposed to come back out. But what do we drink in? We drink in of him. And how do we do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time with him is how we drink in. You know, the last few days, I didn't pray to God about the service. I didn't pray to him about anything in particular. You know, people in the congregation, which is mostly what I pray about. Anybody's situation, a trial somebody's facing, I just said, Lord, I come unto you and drink. And I'm just going to pray right now, because you know what happens when you drink? What he has fills you up. That's what he's talking about in that scripture. So he wants us to come unto him, and then he wants us to drink. Now, there are many ways we can drink of him, and we can fill up on what he has and get that in us. And then the Bible said it comes back out rivers of living water, provides life in every area for you and for others. And listen, you know, in the world drinks, don't they? Now, they drink a different thing that we drink. We drink of him, we drink of his spirit, we drink of his power, and it blesses our life. The world drinks alcohol, right? And it wrecks their life. But how many of you know when the world drinks, what do? They drink, and they drink, and they drink. And the bigger their problems, the more they drink. How should the world outsmart the church? The bigger the problems, the more we drink. There's a whole line of alcoholics on one side of my family. And did you ever know an alcoholic, or maybe you were, and they go on a bender? You know what a bender is? They disappear, right? They're AWOL for days. They're living in their car. They're sleeping on the street. They don't really care because they're doing what they have to do to drink, right? Christians ought to go on a bender with God. You're holed up with him for days. No one knows where you're at. Just you and him. You're drinking. Because the worse your problem gets, the more you should drink. And the world's outsmarted the church. You know, if in the world you were lush, it meant that you drank and you drank and you drank till you were drunk, and then you kept drinking. The church has lost that. When was the last time we drank so much of him, we forgot our problems, we got loving and generous, we forgot about ourselves, we just hold up with him? We're not acting ourselves because we're full of him. There is such thing as drunk in the spirit. And a lot of Christians don't even experience it because they don't ever go to him and drink. They're waiting until they come to a service and hope the pastor's full enough to spill out on everybody else. Just splash a little on us, pastor. You know the splash zone at SeaWorld? It's like the closer you are to the front, the more wet you're going to get. And that's what Christians do. Just be close to pastor, be close to the front, and get a little splashed over blessing. When we could go to our own house as long as we wanted and drink. Drink away your problem. Drink away your trouble. Listen, it's getting worse. Just drink some more. Did you ever, you know, certain personalities tend more toward that. I tend to be real rigid. Until it comes to this. And one time after a service, I couldn't, like, pull myself back to normal, right? The power of God is in here. You know, the Holy Ghost is ministering to us, and there's a move of the Spirit, and, you know, you can't come to yourself. So, of course, we always have to go to a ministry dinner in that situation. And we got to one ministry dinner, and the seagulls were there. So they just stir it up. They keep it going. And Pastor, now, Tim in his old life was an alcoholic, and I was the designated driver. He always drank. He always got drunk, and he kept drinking after he was drunk. But I was always the sober one. I was always the one driving him there, driving him home, putting him to bed, you know, helping him recover, all that kind of stuff. And so we're in the restaurant, and I'm just beside myself, just laughing, enjoying the presence of God. And Pastor Michael said to Tim, God is paying you back. He's paying you back. Because he had to be my designated driver. Listen, have we ever been to a place that we've been so caught up with God that we feel like we might not get back? I remember Dr. Dufresne being here, and the anointing would be so strong. And I'd go home and try and sleep it off, and I'd stare at my ceiling all night long. And I'd get up the next day and just, you know, try and wipe your eyeballs open. And I said to Tim, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel normal again. I'm starting to wonder. You know, like you're trying to, that you still have a flesh. We need to get to that place in our own prayer closet. There are issues facing families, financial things facing families, trials in people's bodies, and they're praying 5 minutes, claiming something on the way to work, and just wondering why it ain't turning around. I'll tell you why. The spirit of the world has worked into people's lives through certain things, and we need to come unto him and drink. Come unto him and drink. Go to John chapter 4. We're almost done here. Actually, let me change this. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want you to know it isn't hard. If I can do it, you can do it. I have no natural ability. I'm not an artist. I'm not a gymnast. I'm terrible at sports. I could sort of halfway cook a dinner if it was like you made it, got a rotisserie chicken from Wegmans and stirred something in with it. You know, it's like I have no real natural ability. So if I can do it, you can do it. It's not hard. It just takes time and dedication. You know, so many things, Christians don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about responsibility. Well, listen, if you're going to be entrusted with other people's future, with their souls, with, you know, people coming into the church, you're going to have to be responsible. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to see here, if you'll lean in and see and hear what the Spirit is saying, you'll be in places that you didn't know you needed to be. You'll be somewhere at the right time with the right person. You'll see things no one else saw. You'll partake of things no one else got to partake of because you leaned into the Spirit. And look at Simeon and Anna. Luke chapter 2, Simeon and Anna. You know, all we've heard about Simeon and Anna is that they're people of the Spirit, right? They followed God. They loved the Lord. They, you know, followed him with fasting and prayers. Luke chapter 2. Why don't we go down here to verse 26? No. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. So did he know it, looking it up online? Did he know it? You know, it's so easy. Like, we don't know something now. We just go to the Google bar and put in that question, and it pops up the answer. We don't even bother to ask God so many things. We have put all these other options in front of him. Well, listen, Simeon knew something by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. It's a concept the church should be familiar with, knowing something by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's what he knew. So he came by the Spirit. So now he's traveled somewhere, he's gone somewhere, because the Spirit told him. It matters where we are when. And we're going to see, Simeon got to see something few people saw. Then he took, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen my salvation. Simeon saw his Savior because of verse 26, something was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. In verse 27, he went somewhere when the Holy Spirit told him. You will see things no one else will see if you'll pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says. And he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou prepared before the face of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles, in the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. So Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. A sword shall pierce through thy soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now listen, there's another one coming that's going to know something. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she also came in that instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so Simeon and Anna got to see the Lord himself, to hold him, because they listened to what the Spirit said and they were in the place he told them to be. How many things have Christians missed out on because they didn't hear what the Spirit said and they didn't go where the Spirit told them? We have missed things of God not doing that. All right, we're going to end with this. Matthew chapter 18. I understand it's a lot to take in. We're going to start tonight doing this. Matthew chapter 18. There's someone that is in my family, and they need to be set free. The devil has them bound every which way. And of course, as a believer, you have compassion for them. You want to see them free. They're tormented and tortured. And so, you know you plan something in your head. You get a big plan how you're going to set them free, how you're going to lay hands on them, and, you know, you envision them coming to themselves and all that kind of thing. And the Holy Ghost told me it doesn't matter if they get free if they don't stay free. Reverend Greer said, I've heard him say, and it was in a book I just read, and he was saying how the worst demon-possessed cases he ever dealt with were believers who backslid. Some of those people that he was able to get free in prison, they were first believers and filled with the Holy Spirit and then backslid. It's a very serious thing to come to know the Lord and backslide. And so the Lord told me, it doesn't matter if you get that person free if they don't stay free. And the way they stay free is to know how the enemy got in to begin with. So once you know how the enemy got in, you got to shut all those doors so he has no place anymore to get in. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. So tonight, we know the Spirit revealed to us one way, the way the spirit of the world is trying to enter the church, and that's through our devices, right? Through social media, through YouTube, through blogs, through all that stuff, right? Instagram and everything. And so when we've partaken of that and we've done it too much, you know what that is. Do you know there's something that I enjoy doing naturally, and I only allow myself to do it on Sunday as a matter of self-control? Because it's the end of the week, and that's our relaxed day at home. That's our family day to do nothing. And so I'll allow myself to do it on Sunday and no other day. As a matter of keeping that in check. Don't let anything boss you. If something demands your time, demands that you pay attention to it, demands that you partake of it, demands that you look at it, then we shouldn't. You don't want anything to have you except the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. So here's what we do. We're going to do this together. You know, the Holy Ghost is not looking to point people out. He's not looking to make a showcase of somebody. We've all been guilty of doing something that we shouldn't. So we'll repent together and get it right together. Amen. Listen, there are things that the Lord has for this church to do, and we need the power to do it. We don't have the power unless we're praying. But we're not praying because we're too distracted with what the spirit of the world is doing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So tonight, we're going to take authority over that, and we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us for it, and we'll be loosed from it. But the important thing is that once we've shut that door, we need to keep it shut. And listen, I'm not saying people are possessed or somebody's having a problem with a demon or something like that. I'm talking about we have partaken too much of what's in the world as believers. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. So the first thing we're going to do, because you can bind and loose things with your word. You ever sense something's going the wrong way? Why don't you just put this up in the Amplified? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You ever sense like your life is just, it's flowing the wrong way? You're getting caught up in a stream, going a certain direction, and you want that to go the other way. We have to do something to stop it and get it going the other way. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, keep going. Gentleness, meekness, humility, and self-control, which means self-restraint. And so once we shut that door, we're going to have to exercise self-control. Take control of your time. If you, listen, it's like tithing. You know how you tithe? You do it first. There is something to be said about doing things first, right? And a lot of times, the person who responds first gets the bigger blessing. And so not only respond first in your finances with tithing, putting him first in your money, but how about first in your time? People will get up early to go on a trip. People will get up early to go do something of their hobby. People get up early to do all kinds of frivolous stuff that means absolutely nothing for someone's eternal salvation. And we can't get up a half hour early to pray. No one's even asking anybody to pray all night or do something radical. Just do what a Christian should do. Right? The church should act like the church. You know, when I went to the Catholic Church, I grew up Catholic. We weren't holy, but they wanted you to act holy while you were there, you know? And it's like now people have just thought, well, who cares? Just don't, you don't even have to act holy. Just come to church. Just coming to church doesn't fix a thing. It doesn't put you over. It doesn't put somebody else over. Do you know the Bible says that we ought to be so full of God that we run into unbelievers, we run into people who are out in the world who are hurting, Christians who are suffering, and we have an answer out of our spirit. It's called prophecy. And when we do that, they fall down and say, God is in you of a truth, and they repent and come to the Lord. Where's that power? See, we don't know what lost people need to hear. We don't know what Christians who are hurting need to hear because we haven't heard what the Spirit said. Do you know complete strangers? People I've never met in my life, I don't even know their name to begin with. And the Holy Ghost will tell me things to tell them, things about their life that I didn't even know as a way to bring them to the gospel. I had no natural information of my own. God makes you smart. He helps you know how to help people. If we want to help people, this is how we do it. We come unto him and drink. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, we're going to exercise self-control. Everyone stand with me. Stand with me. When was the last time we exercised our authority over the enemy? You have to do it. You should do it every day. Remember the little foxes that spoil the vine? He's creeping in little things at a time, right? So everyone close your eyes. Father, we love you. We praise you. If you want to get right with the Lord, just repeat this with me. Satan has no authority over me. I will not allow it in my life. You foul spirit of the world, I bind you. I do not permit you to work against me. You go in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I consecrate my life to you. And I just purpose to come unto you and drink of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been set free. Hallelujah. We've been translated from the power of darkness into the power of light. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to be free. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Glory, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Just stay hooked up with your faith for a minute. Autumn Wright, are you here? Is Autumn here? Could you come on out here? Now, I saw myself minister something to you that you need right now. I don't know what it is, but you're going to take hold of it. So you have to do it how I saw it, or it won't work out how it's supposed to. So just hold both your hands out like that. And when I lay hands on you, you're going to grab my arm, and I'm going to grab your arm, okay? And what you need is imparted unto you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're free. We're free. We're free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Glory to you, Lord. Let's just take a minute and pray in the Holy Ghost. It seems like something's not done with the service, so let's just pray for a minute. Reverend Tony, we need a song. We need a fast song. We need something real upbeat. We need something up. Okay, so worship team, come on up here. Get up there, worship team. Come on, Reverend Vanessa, you get up there too. All right, come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Any free people in here tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just gonna sing what I got. It's so good to be free. It's so good to be free. By his stripes. By his stripes, I know I'm free. It's so good to be free. Hallelujah. It's so good. It's so good.
Name of
Another drinking song. We need a drinking song.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just get free tonight, right where you are. You might not have wiggled a leg yet. You might not wiggled your arm, but do something. Do something. Jump on in. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. gang at more freedom. Hallelujah! We've got the victory! We've got the victory! I'm free! Take a run, Sarah. Yeah!
Oh. Reverend Tony, we need another song.
Right. Hallelujah.
Another song.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just one dose of the Holy Ghost. Not enough for me. Just one dose of the Holy Ghost. Not enough for me.
Just one.
Pastor Renee, come on. Get up here. What's your problem, Pastor Jeff? All right, Reverend Tony, we ain't done. We're not done.
If you want me to be.
No, we need another song. Well, hold on a second. Pastor Jeff has something to say. Your answer is right now. Your answer is right now. Right now. You can take part of your answer right now. Yeah. Reverend Tony, we're going to sing another drinking song. Our answer is right now. We're going to get our answer. Jump in and get your answer. Get your answer.
Hallelujah. Let's just start right here. Come on, give me a fast click. Rip Collin. Right now.
The anointing is on me real strong to help you for your future. Greater anointing to assist, Renee. A greater anointing to assist. Amy, come on out here. Come on out here. Okay. Deeper places in prayer. Deeper places in prayer. Oh, to help us, to help Tim and I. Come on, get her back up. Deeper places in prayer to help Tim and I. Oh, so, oh, oh, oh. Is there anything else, Lord? Is there anything else, Father? We worship you. We worship you. Now, I'm going to say this generally, but it applies to one person. But because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, he'd like me to say it this way. There's been a certain person, and you've been harassed by another believer, and you are authored. As a matter of fact, you need to take authority over it. Take authority over that harassing spirit and command it to reverse and desist in its maneuvers against you. It has to. It has to. And listen, don't get mad at the believer harassing you. They're doing it because they themselves are experiencing that. And so that's help for a particular individual. But because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, he doesn't want to point people out. And so if you need that, just take that. That's your instruction. And listen, when you do it like that, like the Holy Ghost said, it doesn't cause division and strife. It will remove that thing. And then you'll see even over time that person start to act different. But actually you should have compassion on them because they themselves are being harassed. And so you can use your authority. You should use your authority in that area. Is there anything else, Father? anything else. We just worship you. We want to leave real reverent in this place. Hallelujah. The anointing is strong here. If you'd like to marinate in it, you can. I know people have school tomorrow and work and that sort of thing. So if you leave, just leave quietly. We never did take up the offering, so the ushers will be at the back door. So as not to disturb this, if you want to give your offering and your tithes at the back door, ushers, please have the buckets back there. Aren't you so thankful for the help of the Holy Ghost? If you didn't get your help tonight, it's because you didn't take it. The Lord offered all his help here to you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys yokes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You straightened us out and you refreshed us all in one day. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.